The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. I am always thankful when All Saints' Day comes around. It is a feast day in the church that makes me stop and remember. I first remember those who have died in the life of our church this past year, and then I remember those who have died throughout my own personal life and have left an impression on me. Among both the fresh and the old grief, I take comfort from this feast day because it reminds me that we're all connected. That we're all in relationship with one another through a God who loves us and cares for us and died for us so that we may live forever through him. I return every year to the image of a river of the saints of God, those who have gone before, especially those big, fancy, famous names we remember in the church in our yearly saints calendar, people like Thomas Cranmer or Hildegard of Bingen or Martin Luther King. We remember those saints, to name a few. But also on this day, filling in that river are millions and millions of other saints whose names we will never know, but who have been baptized, who lived lives of faith, and who died to be buried with Christ in his death. And we remember on this day these unknown to us saints who fought the good fight and upon whom the kingdom of God continues to be built. As Christians, we know fundamentally that we're connected through our faith. We're connected through Jesus, who loved us and who died on a cross for us. We know that the river of saints has flowed for millennia before us, and that same river now swirls around our own selves, wrapping us up in the flow of the waters of baptism as they are poured over our head. We become part of the flow of our faith, of our history, of the movement of Christ. We, at the moment of our baptism, take our place as builders of the kingdom of God, just as today Declan and Emily and Dylan and Langdon will wade into the water and join us in that ever-flowing, continuous current. The Feast of All Saints also reminds us that we are not the final chapter. There are millions and millions who will come after us, Christians who will be dedicated to continue to bring about the building of God's kingdom after we have laid the bricks that we will in our lifetime. And our call right now, our call from the moment that water touches our head, is to live as faithfully as we can in this lifetime and live in preparation for those who will come after. All Saints firmly reminds us that we are connected to those before and now and after. We are connected. We are related to one another now and always through Christ. Which is why we get the Beatitudes today. Now, please, I keep telling you this. It's like my mantra right now in the Gospel of Luke. Don't read Scripture as black and white. That's not what this is. Jesus is not telling everybody to be poor and hungry because they are better people. Rather, in the blessings and the woes, Jesus is calling us to look at our own lives through the lens that God uses to look at us. Those who we think are the most destitute, the worst off, the least of the least, the ones who we use words like them and they when talking about those people, the poor, the hungry, the crying, those who are hated. This gospel tells us today that God loves them and cares for them because that is the God who we follow. And because God loves all people and cares for all people, especially the worse off and the least of the least and the destitute, that is our reminder that we are to love and to care and to show compassion and to do the same. Sometimes it seems that it's not until everything is stripped away, everything that you care about, that we then realize we're dependent on God alone. And when you have no money to pay rent or to buy healthy food, or your heart is so broken you don't know how it can ever be whole again, you realize your dependence on God alone to walk with you on the journey. People who we consider the least of the least, I think, are the ones that know the best how important it is that God is at work in our lives, and through God, all things are possible. Those who we like to think have made it, at least by our cultural standards, the rich, the well-off, the well-satiated, the merry people among us, the well-thought-of people, you want to know what? God loves them just as much. It's true. But Jesus is also giving a warning to them, or should I say to me, or should I say Jesus is giving a warning to us, that we need the reminder that riches, wealth, social standing, our outlook aren't the measure we are to live up to as Christians. When we have all of this stuff and all of these accomplishments, it's easy to think, I did this. I worked hard, and therefore I have whatever it is. And it's easy to forget that God walked alongside us for that journey. That God is a part of each and every moment of our lives. And it's easy when we get tied up in wondering about what we have, either monetary or outlook or ego, that we forget the commandment to be merciful. We forget that we can be generous. We forget to be kind with all that we have been given. And it's easy, it is so easy to slip into the sin of scarcity, thinking we will never have enough. Letting what we have actually isolate us from relationship with others because we aren't sure that we really have enough to go around. And we forget to be in relationship, especially with the poor and the hungry and the crying, who are always welcome in this church, and to those who are hated. As one commentator put it, and I love this, Jesus's ways do not conform to the cold logic of cost-benefit analysis. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus' ways do not conform to the cold logic of cost-benefit analysis. And you know we all live our lives sizing up what we have. And is it enough? And where can I get more? But Jesus' ways aren't those ways. Jesus' ways remind us that those in need are exactly the ones that we are to care for, that these others in need are saints of God just like us, and part of our relationship and part of our connection is to be thankful and to share. We need to remember that we too are dependent on God alone. We too are to take what we have and through faithful relationship show mercy and compassion to everyone, but especially and intentionally to those who need it most. All Saints' Day is a day that I give thanks for being part of this river of saints, this life-giving river. It is a day to remember what God has called us to. And that namely, we are called to relationship and to care for one another, because that's what it means to be a companion on this river. And as you sit in your pews, the very pew where you are right now, we can think back upon the saints who stepped out of their everyday lives and they took the risk to form a new church, forming this faithful gathering we now call St. Cross. And we can step back, or we can, think back to the saints who stepped up and took second mortgages on their homes to build the very building in which we worship. And we know the names of a few who were around then, who were still here when this building was being built, Emma King and Connie Schroer and Pam Barnes. And I can't stand in this pulpit every Sunday but think of Bob King telling me that there are girders behind these false panels you see up here, and that's why they're there. Because he knew every bone of this church. He cared about it and wanted it to be here for the next generations because his faith was so important to him. But I also want you to think of the saints who have sat in the very pew where you are, the very pew where you are. Saints, we don't even remember their names or their faces, but their legacy is this community that gathers to worship today. The saints who have worshiped here and prayed here and raised families here, all of them, the ones who are buried in the columbarium that we go over there and we say, who is that? This is part of the people who we are in communion with. Each and every person who has stepped through the door is part of our St. Cross tributary to the vast river of saints in the communion of God. We are stewards of this legacy that has been left behind to us and who have loved this church into being, and we are to be stewards for the nameless people who will come after us and sit right where you are today. One of the ways we continue to care for our church and for one another is through tithing. You've heard for the past 3 weeks, and you will hear again today, a witness as to why we are called to give as Christians and a challenge to move up a step in our giving if we can. Christian giving is never, never to be out of shame or guilt about what we have been given. But Christian giving is supposed to be out of thankfulness. It is supposed to be out of the abundance of what we have, no matter how it measures up to today's standards. We give to continue to build the relationship with other saints, both known and unknown. We give because we have been given such deep love, such profound mercy, such radical compassion through Jesus, that we want to share with others our joy and our gratitude and our deep thanks of being in communion with one another. Yes, All Saints' Day reminds us to be thankful. Thankful for those who have gone before. Thankful for what God has given to us, our current day saints, and thankful for those who will follow in our footsteps. Remember that you too are part of this marvelous, mystical river of love and mercy and compassion. And I ask you to please stand now and to turn towards the font where we will welcome the four newest members into our faith. Should he?